disown me before others, and I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the member of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Our God is in the life-changing business. He loves taking people who are one way and changing them into being another way. So, for example, he took an Egyptian prince, turned him into an Israelite liberator named Moses. He took a cowardly farmer and turned him into a bold judge named Gideon. He took a ruddy shepherd and made him into a powerful king named David. Took a loudmouth fisherman, turned him into a gospel preacher named Peter. He took a persecutor of the church and he turned him into a missionary named Paul. This is what God does. God takes people and he changes them and makes them new. In some ways, you could say the work of God is kind of like Chip and Joanna Gaines. I know this is a little bit of a stretch, but hang with me here. They are hit TV show on HGTV called Fixer Upper. They find the worst house in the best neighborhood, and they put their work into it, they remodel it, and they make it a jewel of the neighborhood. And isn't that what God does with people? That God takes a reject, God takes a defect, God takes a person who's a throwaway, and he begins his work in him, and by the Spirit of God, by the name of Jesus, he turns him into something beautiful. This is what Paul meant when he said in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are gone. New has come. This is the beauty of the gospel, that who you once were, you don't always have to be that person. What you've been in your past, you don't have to stay that way. But instead, by the power of God, you can change. By the Spirit of God, you can be made new. By the power of God, you can be transformed. If you're our guest this morning, we're in the middle of we're actually ending a series, a three-part series that is talking about Vision 2.0, where we've taken some time to re-examine and deepen our vision as a church of mission, mercy, and transformation. And I began this series by talking about Matthew chapter 10 and how we want to be a Matthew 10 church. We want God to empower us and to send us out. Just like Jesus took the apostles and he empowered them and he sent them out on a limited commission, we want to be the same way. We want to be that kind of church, a church that's sent out. Well, that brings up a few questions. Question number one is, where is God sending us? And we talked about in our first lesson that we feel that God is calling us to be sent to this neighborhood of a 3-mile radius around our building, that we feel like this is our mission field. This is where God has called us to be as a church, and we believe at this time, in this place, this is where we're to be. We're to be missionaries here. But then number two, the question becomes, how are we to be sent? How are we to go? What are we to do? And we talked about last week that Jesus sent out the apostles and he told them to love people and to minister to people and to show mercy to people. And that's what we want to do. We want to show mercy to our neighborhood. And our neighborhood's changing. People are moving back into this neighborhood and we want to love everybody. We want to love all of our neighbors, those that have lived here a long time and those that are moving in as well. But this morning, we want to look at a third question. And the third question is, what is our goal? As we are being sent out into the neighborhood, what is the purpose that we want to see accomplished? What are the results that we want to see happen? And again, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 10. And I want us to look again at what Jesus said to his apostles. Because after he sends them out and tells them where to go, after he gives them instructions on what to do and how to go about it, he then begins to give them some warnings. He says, you're going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. You're going to need to be shrewd as snakes. You're going to need to be innocent as doves. Now, the reason why Jesus is using these animal metaphors is because he understands that as they go out, there are going to be some people that don't like their message. Because after all, the message of the apostles that Jesus had given them was not to just go and be a little bit nicer to people. The message was not to go out and share a little good hope and goodwill. That was not the message. The message was a message of repentance. It was a message of change. It was a message of surrender. That God's doing something new. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to get your life right and get on board with what God is doing. It was a message of surrender. And Jesus knew that not everybody was going to like that. Notice again what it says in verse 35 of chapter 10 that James read to us. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. I mean, why did Jesus say that? I mean, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Why is he saying that he's going to bring a sword? He's going to divide up families. He's going to chop them up to where there's half on one side, half on the other. Why is Jesus saying that? He's saying that because he understands that as the apostles go out, their message is going to cause people to make a decision. It's going to cause people to decide, what are they going to do? Are they going to follow this new way of life in the kingdom of God? Are they going to follow Jesus, or are they not? And Jesus knew that there are going to be some people who are going to say no. But the apostles' job was to issue the call. The apostles' call was to issue the invitation to invite people to come and learn of Jesus, to come learn of his way of life, to come and take up their cross, deny themselves, take up their cross and follow him. In a word, their job was to invite transformation, to invite people to come and be disciples of Jesus. That was their call. That was their goal. That was their purpose. And here at Southside, we want that to be our purpose too. That our goal here at Southside is not to be the biggest church in Fort Worth. Our goal here at Southside is not to have the biggest building of any church or organization. Our goal here at Southside is not to have the richest budget of any church. That's not our goal. Our goal is to see people experience life-changing, Christ-centered transformation. That's our goal. We want to see people become followers of Jesus. We want to see people have life change happen as they're following and learning to follow Jesus. And we believe this transformation is holistic in nature. That transformation, part of it is learning a walk with Jesus. Part of it is making amends and reconciling with family and friends that we have hurt in the past because of our bad decisions. A part of that transformation is learning new habits, saying goodbye to the destructive habits of our past and putting in its place good spiritual habits. Part of that transformation is learning to have a purpose in life and that God wants more from us than what we've been in the past. You know, in the Hope class, they have a saying that when someone gets out of jail or prison, that we don't care what you've been in for, we care what you're out for. You know, everybody's got a past. Everybody's got issues that they're struggling with. The question is, where are you now and where are you going in the future? Jesus accepts you and loves you right where you are, but he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to experience change. He wants you to experience transformation. He wants you to find out that there's a purpose for your life and that God wants more from you. That's the kind of transformation that we want to see happen here at Southside. To be a church where people, when they come here, they're different because they're following Jesus and Jesus is changing their lives. Here at Southside, we have four major spiritual practices that we do together as a church to support this transformation, discipleship. Number one, we worship. Every Sunday morning, we gather together and we worship the Lord. We share communion. We do this because, well, the Lord has asked us to do this, but we also do it because we believe God is here and God changes us. That when we gather for worship, God speaks into our heart. That we're not here by accident, but that God has us here for a reason, that he has something that he wants to tell us, and he changes us in worship. Number two, we emphasize community. Whether it's through our Sunday school classes or joining a small group or through some other means, we want every person here to have Christian brothers and sisters that they are close with, Christian friends. Because we know that's often how God changes us, is through our friends, through our Christian friends. As iron sharpens iron, as the Proverbs writer said. That's how God works, is through people in our life who can speak into our life and who can encourage us. And so we encourage people to be in community here at Southside. Number three, we emphasize scripture and spiritual disciplines. On Wednesday nights, a part of our Southside University program, we encourage people to be studying God's Word because we believe that when you're listening to God's Word challenges you. God's Word convicts you and it shapes you, transforms you. And then number four, we emphasize mission. We want every single person to be engaged in God's mission, whether that's serving in the food pantry, whether it's mentoring a child in the community, whether it's tutoring, whether it's participating in some other ministry at church, whether it's going to Honduras or Ecuador or Ukraine or some other place on a short-term mission. We want everybody engaged in mission because as we're proclaiming the gospel, as we're demonstrating the gospel, God works in our hearts. He uses us to bless others, but he works in our hearts too to change us and to make us new. And we believe that as we're doing all four of these things, on a regular, weekly basis, that slowly, little by little, God changes us. God makes us into being a disciple. He brings life change. He helps us to walk in his way. This is one of the reasons why I love the Day of Hope. Day of Hope is always in the spring. It's a special outreach event that we do. We set up a tent on the parking lot. We have food, we have games, and then we have people tell stories. My favorite part. People get up and they share stories of hope, and they talk about how God has changed them, how they used to be one way, but now they're different by the power of God. And we've had, over the years, dozens of people get up and share their story, and we've heard powerful stories of how God has changed addicts into servants, how God has healed people of disease, how God has brought marriages back together that were on the brink of divorce, how God has brought hope to families who have been struggling with deep, deep burdens. Wonderful stories, and I love that day because that's what our church is about, right? Our church is about life change. It's about transformation. It's about learning to become a disciple. It's about turning over your life to Jesus and letting him take control. And whenever we see that happening, I celebrate that because that's the kind of church we want to be. That's the church that God has called us to be. A God of transformation wants us to be a people of transformation. But there are a couple of potential pitfalls that as we think about Vision 2.0, think about the next few years. There are a couple pitfalls that could sidetrack us in being a church of transformation. I just want to mention these two real quickly to us. Number one, it is easy to assume that baptism is the climactic moment of transformation. I want you to hear what I'm going to say here. Now, we know that baptism is very, very important. It's the place where God forgives us of our sins. It's the place where God puts his Spirit inside of us. It's the place where God adds us to the church. But baptism is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the journey. It's just where we start our walk with Jesus. After baptism, that's where the hard work comes, where we're mentoring and teaching and learning and being guided. But sometimes we can start to think that once someone has been baptized, we can relax. That now they're in Christ, and so we can take a step back. And sometimes someone is baptized here at Southside, and we hand them a towel, and we hand them a hair dryer, and we hope they find their way after that. When really, that's when the hard work starts. The hard work of mentoring and teaching and guiding. And even for those of us who have been raised in the church and were baptized at a young age, sometimes we can think that as well. That we can just assume that because I was baptized long ago and I'm sitting on a pew every Sunday, I can just guide along, glide along, I can coast along in my spiritual walk and everything's okay because I've been baptized. Everything is fine. And I want to remind us what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Jesus did not say in the Great Commission, go and baptize people. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Now that starts at baptism. But if all we do is just baptize people and brag about all the numbers of baptism, we have failed in the goal of the mission. The goal is to make disciples. And so we want to make sure that those that we're baptizing and those that have been baptized at a young age, those that are raised, that all of us are on this journey of discipleship and following Jesus. And we all are growing spiritually and experiencing transformation. And then there's a second pitfall. And the second pitfall is that in our zeal to want to minister to our neighborhood and to show mercy to our neighborhood, we can forget what the ultimate goal is. Now, I want to be very careful how I say this. Because when we feed the hungry, and when we clothe the naked, and when we tutor the child, those are good works. And those are the works of Jesus. And Jesus wants us to be doing those things. That's what it means to show the gospel. But our job is not just to show the gospel. Our job is also to tell the gospel. And if we just show the gospel, but we never tell it, it's almost like it's incomplete. Now, there are some churches that do the opposite. There are some churches who do a great job at telling the gospel, but they never show it. That's incomplete too. And here at Southside, we want to do both. We want to show the gospel, and we want to tell the gospel. We want those things to go hand in hand. Because Jesus doesn't just want our neighborhood well fed. Jesus doesn't just want our neighborhood well clothed. Jesus doesn't just want the children of our neighborhood to have school supplies. He wants our neighborhood to know Him. He wants our neighborhood to be followers of Him. He wants the world to become disciples of Him. And so our job is as we give food for the physical body, that at the same time we give the bread of life for the spiritual body. That as we offer clothes for the physical body, that we're also offering the clothing of Christ for the spiritual body. That as we give school supplies to our children so they can learn about science and math and social studies, that we're also giving them resources to learn about Jesus. Because what we want to see happen is people become disciples of Christ and experience transformation. So how do we avoid these pitfalls? I think the answer is found in the word intentional. That if we're going to be a church of transformation, moving forward over the next few years, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about everything we're doing, whether it's our adult education, whether it's our small groups, whether it's any other ministry of the church going on, or whether it's our food pantry, or whether it's our school store, or whether it's our short-term mission trips. Everything we're doing, we need to be intentional about making sure that this is something that we're not just doing because we've always done it. We're not just doing this because, well, there's another quarter coming around. We're not just doing it because, well, this is just kind of the thing you do at church. But we're doing this because we believe this will form us into being disciples of Christ. This will help us experience Christ-centered transformation in our life. We need to be intentional about that. And in order to help us do that, the elders have decided to have two initiatives. And I'm going to share those with you right now. Number one, the elders have decided to shift Matthew's role into being missional discipleship minister. And many of you, we all know this, maybe. That several months ago, Matthew came to the elders and said he was ready to step out of youth ministry and wanted to minister to adults. And this started a whole conversation between Matthew and our elders and Matthew and the ministers, and we started having these conversations, and we landed with this idea of Matthew becoming our missional discipleship minister. And I know what you're thinking. What does that mean? Well, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure. Because it's a new role. We've never had anybody in this role before. Matthew's never been in this role before. He's going to take a month of sabbatical in September. And then in October, he's going to head strong into this role. And it's going to take him a few months to get his feet wet and to know exactly where he's going to be focused on. But generally, this is the idea behind this role. That Matthew's job is to help us be intentional about forming disciples within the church and making disciples outside the church. And so Matthew's going to spend some time working on adult education and small groups and things like that to make sure that the ministries we have going on, that they are making disciples, forming disciples. They're intentional about that. But then he's also going to spend some time exploring new opportunities in our neighborhood, in our community, so that we can find new ways to make disciples in our neighborhood. Maybe one way to look at Matthew's role is that he's an equipping minister. That his job is to equip all of us so that we can be formed as disciples and we can make disciples. And he's going to be working in many ways, often behind the scenes, to try to help make that happen. And so the elders have charged him to do that, to be our missional discipleship minister, because we want to be intentional about forming disciples moving forward. And then the second initiative. In order for us to be intentional about experiencing transformation, we need good shepherding. We need shepherds who are engaged in our lives, who are engaged in what's going on in our lives, who are talking with us, who are helping us. We need that in order to experience transformation. That's why God gave the church shepherds, elders, to minister, to look after the flock. And we've got some great shepherds. Let me say that again. We got some great shepherds. Wonderful men who have devoted their lives to caring about all of us and caring about us that we would grow spiritually and be disciples of Christ. But as we continue to grow as a church and as we think about future growth of the church, we need more of them. And I hesitate on exactly how to say this, but most of the shepherds were here 10 years ago when I preached these three lessons, and they're all 10 years older, which isn't a bad thing. But you got to be thinking ahead. And so the elders have decided that they want to initiate a search process over this fall to add some additional elders. And Kent Smith's going to talk more about that here in just a little bit after an invitation. And it's something we want to be praying about. But it's something that's going to help us to be intentional about forming and making disciples. As I close this three-part series, I just want to mention one final note. 10 years ago, I preached these three lessons. We want to be a church of mission, mercy, and transformation. I didn't say in those lessons how we were going to go about that. I didn't say we were going to start a bunch of new ministries. I didn't say we were going to start a bunch of new programs. I just said, this is who we are. We're missionaries. We're going to show mercy. We want to see transformation. That's who we are. And think about all that God has done in the past 10 years, all the people that he's brought, all the new ministries that have started, all the new opportunities, all the baptisms, all the new disciples of Christ that have happened, that have been cultivated through the past 10 years. God has done some amazing things, church. And it's been exciting to be a part of. And here we are 10 years later, and I've done the exact same thing. Except for mentioning about Matthew and the elders, adding new elders. But pretty much, I've just said, this is who we are. We're a church of missionaries sent to this neighborhood. We're a church of mercy that wants to love our changing neighborhood. We're a church of transformation that wants to be intentional about forming and making disciples. That's what I've said. This is who we are. This is who God has called us to be. And I'm excited and I anticipate all of the good things that are going to happen over the next few years. All the new ministries, all the new opportunities, all the new people that God is going to bring, all the new disciples that he's going to cultivate. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I know who holds the future. And I know that God is going to do great things in this body of believers. Now, underneath the surface of this church, there's a strong sense of faith. And I've seen it. I've seen it in action. I've seen this church put their faith in God and stay in this neighborhood, even when the neighborhood didn't seem real safe. I've seen this church put their faith in God in making some tough decisions that didn't always seem to be the easiest, but they were the best. I've seen this church put their faith in God when people they loved were going through very, very, very difficult times and they trusted in God to help them during those times. I've seen that this church has deep faith, faith that takes risks, faith that steps out and follows God. And if we keep having that kind of faith and we don't get afraid, and we don't try to control things, and we don't get anxious and fearful. But if we keep having that kind of faith over the next several years, God is going to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Let's pray. Lord, empower us and send us out. We want to be missionaries for you, sent to this neighborhood. We want to love this neighborhood, those that are already here and those that are coming here. Lord, we want to join you in changing lives. We want to be intentional about making disciples. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, I don't know what all that's going to mean. I don't know what new ministries will start. I don't know what new people are going to come, what new opportunities are going to open up, but give us the courage and the faith to follow where you lead, to be faithful, to trust in you, to be your servants. And may you work through us to be a blessing to this neighborhood and to accomplish your mission of making disciples. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And our elders and ministers are going to surround this auditorium. And if you came here needing hope, because you're in a bad situation, and you want hope for the future, that hope can be found in Jesus Christ. And it starts in the waters of baptism. You repent of your sins, you're baptized into Christ, and God makes you new. And then you're on this new journey of following the Lord, and we want to help you do that. And if you're ready to take this step, you can just come to the front. We sing, we'll help you take this step of baptism. Or maybe you need encouragement, maybe you need prayer. Need the church to pray over you. You can just walk to one of your elders, one of your ministers, let them pray over you, encourage you. They'll help you as we follow Christ together. If we can help you this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.
Oh, Claire.